Okay, it's Cloudways with Jonathan Ash, and I'm really pleased to invite back a chum of mine, Glenn Pragnell. The last time we heard from Glenn, we were talking about his Vague Ideas project. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing, mate?
Good, yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Last time on the Adventures of Glenn, we were talking about the Vague Ideas album. But of course, that was a concept album, and it was to do with letters from John Lennon to a variety of people. Sorry.
Fictional letters, yeah,
Yes.
imagined letters set during the last sort of 8 or 9 years of his life in New York, and it was just kind of letters from him to friends and family, and letters from his family and friends to him. An idea that was mooted by Mayor Rozelle in America, and she'd written this play and she'd written the lyrics to most of the songs, and she approached me to put the music to those lyrics and contribute to the project. And then it was a project I'd never worked like that before, and we knocked around a few ideas. She really liked the stuff I did when I demoed. We then recorded the stuff for the play, and she was so pleased with it that we put the album out first. And the play still hasn't been completed yet because the album moved on so quickly. We got that out, and let's release the album first and think about the play later. And that's kind of the ball's in her court now, because the album went out in last August, and she's still putting the play together, updating it, changing it, getting it exactly right. And then she's got to try and get someone interested in putting the play on. But that is still going ahead, even though it's sometime after the album is finished. But it doesn't matter, because New York Letters, I think it stands up as an album on its own. I mean, so it works as an album. And then, hey presto, one day, hopefully, fingers crossed, the play will happen. So you'll have a play, and the songs will be there ready to be used in the play.
I was going to ask you a little bit about, what's happening next with that project. And actually, I kind of felt that that very last track on the album, it was such a powerful final track, and it kind of took us to a certain place. Which, as well as it being part of the project, was also kind of, well, where's Glenn going to go next as well, if you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I mean, I felt very emotional on that final track.
It's funny because quite a few people said that. I mean, there's a couple of tracks on there that are obviously emotional. But I was a bit surprised at how emotional it was for some people. They contacted me and said, brought a tear to my eye and things like that, which people aren't always very quick at coming forward to say to you about stuff. But it was particularly about that track and the lullaby for Sean. It did seem to affect people, and like, oh, that was really, really quite emotional. So, and I think when we put in the music to it, I thought I want it to be powerful. Obviously, it's got to hit the mark. At the same time, I didn't want to over-egg it, make it too schmaltzy. Or and you don't know when you got it right. You can only get an approximation and think, well, I think that's good. I think that's okay. I like it. So fingers crossed, hopefully it'll work. And it did seem to work with those tracks.
It was also because obviously we were talking about your project Groovy Uncle, which we are going to talk about in just a minute. When we were talking before, you kind of were thinking you don't know if there was going to be a future for that. You weren't sure if you were going to put another album out or anything like that. So it almost felt like a bit of a swan song beyond just the Vague Ideas project, if you see what I mean, just from the conversations we were having.
Yeah, I mean, there's several things. There's so much going on recently. I mean, I've always been like this, that whenever I finish an album, and I thoroughly enjoy it, I love doing it, but when I get to the end of it, I always do it. I always think, that's it. I haven't got any more ideas. I haven't got any more songs. That's my last album, or at least my last thing I'm going to do for a long time. I'm going to have a long break now. Bye. See you later. And I always genuinely feel like that. It's like, I haven't got a clue what's coming next. But every time so far, a few days later, suddenly, oh, I've got an idea, and then another idea. And before I know it, I'm thinking, no, I think the baby's on the way.
And talking to babies, let's talk about your last Groovy Uncle baby as well, because of course Searching for the Grown-Ups was done in such a very different style to any of the other albums in the way that you recorded it.
Yeah, because I mean, the long story of Groovy Uncle, I mean, it goes back to 2010 with the first single. And then the first album in 2011, which we recorded down in Sandgate, when State Records, their studio is there. And State Records put the first couple of albums out, the first Groovy Uncle album and single, and then the first Susie album, a couple of singles. And then we moved to Ranscombe. Obviously, we'll talk a bit more about Ranscombe later, but for the first album we did there was Persuaded in 2014. And yeah, sort of every year, because and almost like an annual event, we'd write. we're going to do another album. We go to Ranscom, do another album or a single. We did a couple of singles and it went on like that. And then of course we got to the pandemic and we got to lockdown. Like everyone else, we had to go in hiding for a while. But personally, I've got an added thing because my wife's clinically vulnerable. So we're still kind of keeping away from people to a degree. It's certainly not over for us. We have to be careful. I mean, everyone has to be careful, I know, but we have to be extra careful. And so I couldn't just say, you know, last year, I couldn't say, it's all over now, it's fine, let's get back to the studio. If I want to do anything, I've got to carry on doing it at home, working virtually with a drummer and a couple of other people. And I've just had to carry on working like that. So that's just how it happened. When we did Grown Ups, Grown Ups was the first thing I'd ever recorded at home, which is a learning curve. You know, I can listen to that album and think, yeah, there's a lot that sounds could have been done a lot better, but I was learning. It was the learning curve album. But there's some nice moments on it. I like the songs, and I'm going to use that horrible phrase. It is what it is.
You know? Absolutely. But I'm thinking your 12th album, right? Let's go for gusto here. Your 12th album should be called The Learning Curve. Something like that.
Could be. Yeah. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Okay, so of course you continued with the kind of working from home, didn't you, when you were doing the Vague Ideas as well. And that's where we left you, Glenn, August last year. So what are you up to now then?
Well, so since the Vague Ideas, I got straight back to work, much to my surprise, because I thought that I hadn't really got any ideas. And then as usual, a couple of ideas came to mind. And before I knew it, I had a few songs. So I thought, we're going to do another album. So got some songs together. And after that, I heard from Chuck Sabo, who's the drummer that played on the Vague Ideas stuff.
Oh, I remember.
And he said, you know, if you want me to play again, I'd love to. You know, I really enjoyed doing the Vague Ideas. And I was already thinking, what am I going to do about drums? You know, so Chuck was involved on that. And I just basically got the meat and potatoes down, the basics, and sent stuff to him, and he put drums on. We've also got, on this album, we've got Richard Moore on one track doing the strings. Apart from those two musicians, it's just me doing everything else. I think it's a step up from Grown Ups. You know, I've gotten more used to the technical side and producing. I'm certainly not an expert at it, or it's not my. Yeah. I don't consider myself a producer or anything like that. I was just a bloke who's sitting at home recording, you know, and learning as I go. I like it. I like this new album. It's going to be released this Sunday, the 15th of January.
Which is tomorrow, if we pretend that we're not pre-recording this interview and that you've given up your Saturday night to talk to me.
And the album is called No Man's an Island, which is kind of connected with, you know, isolation and the lockdown and doing stuff at home. And you do feel a bit isolated and you do feel a bit, you're cut off from everyone else. So I wasn't consciously thinking of that when I wrote listening to the songs back. It is there, that sense of, I'm on this island and I'm doing stuff on my own, but you're not completely alone. No Man's an Island, you know.
We're actually going to listen to the title track from the album. And so here we go. This is Groovy Uncle from the brand new album. And this is No Man's an Island.
Yeah.
things I did notice on that track, and it's something that we were talking about when we had the last interview, when you were doing the Vague Ideas project, you've been using the piano again, I noticed there.
I think that's a lot to do with having a lot more time on my hands. So I've just sat and practiced and played around with the piano because, you know, I used to play the piano when I was a kid. I could read music, but it all disappeared. And then I've never done it since, really. You know, I still can't really play piano very well. But during lockdown, I sort of picked it up a little bit again, and just enough to kind of be able to work out a few songs. And I think when you write songs on the piano, you write differently. It comes, because I don't really always know what the chords are. I just hit some notes and I thought, oh, that sounds good. Oh, I'll use that chord, whatever it is, in that song. And it's always slightly embarrassing because I'm working with other musicians and they'll say, oh, send me the chords to that song, you know, whatever, you know, I don't know them. And it makes me sound really stupid. But to be honest, I'm like that with guitar as well. I use chords and I think, I don't know what that chord is. You tell me. It just sounds good. I'm not a very good musician, instrumentally, as it were, but I've got an ear for a tune, you know.
It's a bit like it. It's a bit like art. I've said this before. It doesn't matter how much, like if you've been trained classically and that sort of thing, actually, that's not your creativity. Creativity is exactly what you're saying about. It's just hearing that thing you weren't expecting. If you've had the training, sometimes that can actually detract from having that, you know, absolute carte blanche to do whatever you want.
Yeah. And when I've always, in the past, when I've written on guitar, I always predominantly wrote on guitar. And that's great. And I still do that. But you get a bit bored, you know, you think going through the same old things every time. Going at it from the piano, you just feel different about it. It feels a bit new. Oh, yeah, this is good. And I don't know what that is, but that sounds great. And that's what I do on Vague Ideas album. It's all very rudimentary playing, but it just makes it a bit more exciting for me and interesting for me.
Well, one of the things that stands out, and obviously I know we keep going back to the Vague Ideas just because that was the last time we were talking, but we are going to talk about the new album. But again, just coming back to the first track and the rhythm you've got, that on that first track on the album, I think straight away this was like saying, okay, this is a very different kind of Glenn, because...
Yeah.
You can see that the piano is the thing that's almost driving that particular song. So on the new album, I've got to admit, I've only heard two tracks from the album at the moment, you know, the two that we're listening to. So the piano is being used a lot, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay. And how has that changed, if you like, the flavour of the songs? Do you have a different feel for this album because you've been writing in a slightly different way?
Yeah, I think it's similar in a way to the Vague Ideas album, in that thing where I'm just writing a lot. I'm starting a lot of stuff on the piano. It still isn't natural for me to write on the piano, which I see as a good thing. It makes you work harder. If I'm on guitar, I'll just go through the same thing. You know, I'm not trying. But with the piano, I'm trying. So, yeah, it is piano heavy. I mean, there are some tracks on there that go back to the old style Groovy Uncle with just guitars. I mean, there's a track called All That Matters, which is a very short, it's just over 2 minutes long. And it just sounds like an old, I don't know, 60s Merseybeat song or whatever. And it's just electric piano, guitars. That's more like the old style Groovy Uncle. And it's got the harmonies and whatnot. And there's another track called Beneath, which started off in my head when I was writing it. I want to write something that's a bit like the White Stripes or a bit like Black Sabbath or something. I mean, it doesn't sound anything like that, obviously, because it's me.
no bats involved then.
No, but that was the starting point. I just want something that's a bit more that isn't typical Groovy Uncle. I like to try different things so you don't do the same old. I mean, the only rule is I like songs, I like melody. So it's always like whatever I do has to be melodic and it has to be, people are going to remember it. But that doesn't mean it has to be the same style all the time. Or this album's got to sound exactly like the last one. You know, I'm not a fan of all that, really.
Just the two tracks I've heard, straight away I'm hearing something very different to what you've done before.
Yeah.
But you can still tell it is Glenn, it is the Groovy Uncle kind of, what would you call it, the stamp of Groovy Uncle's on there as well, if that makes sense.
Sort of melodic. Hopefully they'll stay in your head. You find yourself thinking, oh, I think I've heard this before, and you haven't, unless I've tripped up when I have plagiarised someone.
There was a guy who sounded just like John Lennon on that last album you did.
Yeah, that was a good thing about that album, because I was kind of allowed, kind of, I could get away with a bit more, I suppose, on that. But
it's almost like getting the Beatles out of your system a little bit, wasn't it? Yeah. Kind of like, I really want to do this. In a minute, we'll listen to the second track from the album, which is It Never Ends. But just before that, do you want to talk us through a couple of tracks that perhaps for you, I know you've just mentioned a couple, but are there a couple of tracks that you really want people to sort of perhaps hook into?
This is always a problem for me, because this happens with almost everything I do. The songs that I think, oh, this is great, they're going to love this, they're always the ones that people aren't bothered about. And it's always the songs that I just think are okay, that people love. It's very, very strange. Very strange like that. And it often works like that. I mean, there's a song, the fourth track is Did You Fail at Life, which I wrote for Susie.
Right.
Because the thing is that Grown Ups and this latest album all started off with the idea of, like, let's do another Susie album. And Did You Fail at Life, on the song on this album, it was the first song I wrote for this album. And I thought, yeah, that'll be a Susie song. And I was thinking we could do a Susie album. But because of technical stuff and lots of other stuff going on, it didn't happen. I think, you know, people keep saying to me, oh, you should do another Susie album. Yeah, I know. I want to do it, but it just doesn't happen for various reasons. It's not me putting the kibosh on it. It just doesn't work out. But that song, when you hear that one, Did You Fail at Life? You'll go, oh, yeah, that's a Susie song. You can hear her doing this very Dusty Springfield type thing. But unfortunately, on this album, it's me doing it. There's like a couple of quirky tracks. There's a song called It's Mad, if you ask me. It's one of those angry, frustrated, but funny songs. You know, it's sort of quirky. You get the anger and frustration, but at the same time, you're sort of chuckling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I am, anyway. Just about the world and the way it is and all the madness. It's called It's Mad, if you ask me. There's a nice ballad called We Had Holidays, which I wrote kind of about my parents. Right. Again, when you hear it, you'll get that. That's the one that Richard Moore did a beautiful string arrangement
on. Oh, that's gorgeous,
So it's just me, piano, strings. There's no drums on that either. It's just that's just...
And do you know what? I haven't even heard that song. And in my head, I've got the picture of them at Dreamland in Margate.
It's that thing of when you're just thinking to yourself and how terrible things are, and some people having a terrible time and had a terrible life, thinking how lucky we were, you know, and I'm trying to think of a way of summing it up. And I just thought of the phrase, we had holidays. So it's about them and the Dreamland thing, like you say, and it's about our family. It's about, aren't we lucky? You know, they're not here anymore, but we had holidays. Yeah. And it says much more than that. You need a title.
Yes,
to sum it up. So we had holidays. That's quite good. So bringing us round to the track you're going to play, It Never Ends. I mean, this was a nice one to. I really like this one. And again, this is one I think people are like, but it might be one of those because I've said that people are ignore it. But I think it's kind of a bit like early Bee Gees ish. But I just really like it. I can imagine it being a single, you know, and the needle going down and that the drums come in, and it's just a straightforward 2.5 minute melodic pop song with harmonies.
Okay, so let's listen to that one, which I think is the second track on the album, isn't it? So this is It Never Ends from Groovy Uncle's new album, No Man Is an Island. Gotta go back to the start.
It
talking with Deb Bragnell, who is the groovy uncle. And yeah, I was just going to ask you a little bit about, we mentioned Ransom Studios, where you have done a lot of Groovy Uncle albums. Obviously, Ransom Studios, for those of you that don't know, has shut down. You know, they're moving it to a new location, hopefully. And last night there was the Rally for Riley at the Stanley Ballrooms as well.
Which I couldn't go to. I couldn't go. Oh, I can never go to these things.
No, and I didn't get a ticket in time either. So sadly, nor can I. So nor did I. Just can you just talk us a little bit about what Ranscombe means to you? The legacy of sort of Medway music, if you like. What your take is on Ranscombe?
Well, I mean, it's been the centre of everything music-wise in Medway for a long time. Jim has been there 20 years or something, you know.
Wow, gosh, yeah.
And, or I didn't record there until 2014 for the first time. But I knew Jim going back years and years, going back to the 80s, you know, or further than that probably. And yeah, Ranscombe is just, it's so sad that it's gone because it's the place where so many really good records have been made. It's got like a little musical community. Everyone goes to Ranscombe and everyone comes out over the moon because Jim does such a great job. The great thing about it, you never had a fight. I mean, I've worked in studios where it's a little bit, you can't get across what you mean. Like, you know, a lot of musicians, people like me, haven't got the technical language to get across what you want. You know in your head what you want, but you can't get it across. But Jim instinctively always knew what we wanted to sound like, what we needed to sound like. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone chips in ideas, but Jim didn't really need the ideas because he knew. He always knows what you want. So yeah, it's a real shame. We really, really great memories of recording there. Recorded with us, Groovy Uncle. Susie came down to record. Miss Modus came all the way down from Edinburgh to record. Everyone that goes there has a great time. No one goes out thinking anything bad. You know, it's always good. And I'll miss it. I think we all will.
There was something about that particular layout, wasn't there? You know, it's quite unique, and just looking through the window and seeing the kind of the stripes and everything and all the stuff on the walls. Yeah.
Yeah, there was never any awkwardness or nervousness, or you walk in, it's like, you know, like when you're a kid and there's something special about going to your nan's house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's exactly that.
I'm not inferring that Jim is my nan, but no, you know that comfort thing where you just go somewhere and you go, you're in safe hands, you got that, put the kettle on, you're in your own little bubble, your own little world, and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I had the pleasure of visiting it when you were recording Man Who Calls the Shots, and in fact that's where I met Richard Moore and Caitlin for the first time from Lost Revelers. And it's exactly that. It's almost to the point that there's that lovely sort of comfy sofa in the mixing room. It's in there, and you know, everything's just easy and chill. So
we all wish Jim well, and I hope he gets another studio, and I hope it continues. And if it does, it will still be great, you know.
It'll be great, you know, be sort of moving on to this sort of next iteration of Ranscombe. Okay, we haven't got a lot of time left, Glenn. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. It's been brilliant, and I'm so looking forward to the album, as I always am when the new Groovy Uncle album comes out. I have to admit, I am a fanboy, as I think you probably know already.
You've even got your special eyebrows on for me.
I have. So for those, because it's radio, you can't see, but I've managed to find on Zoom how you can give yourself really posh eyebrows, and I've got a little moustache as well, so I'm feeling quite groucho about things today. I have said that I'd be very honoured if you choose a track for us to finish off the interview as well. But just before that, No Man's an Island, it's coming out tomorrow, brand new...
just correction there, it's No Man's an Island, not No Man is an Island.
Did I say No Man is an Island?
You keep saying No Man is an Island. I know it's the same thing, and yet it's not.
No, it's semantically very different, so I do apologise for that.
No Man's an Island.
No Man's an Island, right.
Maybe I should have put it with a Z, No Man's.
Yeah, then you could have, like, that would have been almost like a bit boy band, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I've been down with the kids.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
You could have done No Man's N Island as well. Anyway, let's move on. To get hold of a copy of that, how can people get their copy of it?
They can get it from the Groovy Uncle Bandcamp or the Groovy Uncle website, which is groovy-uncle.co.uk. Stuff's on Discogs. It's all over the place. It'll be on iTunes, Amazon, all the usual suspects.
Brilliant, absolutely. But I must admit, I do like to have a physical copy of all the albums, so I will be hounding you, and I will be ordering my copy.
Unfortunately, we couldn't do vinyl because it's too much money, and the lead times, the wait times now for vinyl are stupid. So by the time we got vinyl, I've released another two albums. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be having the best of Groovy Uncle by then, won't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want that, I can tell you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. It's been absolutely brilliant. It's been a pleasure as always. And I hope to see you in the flesh very soon. And just to finish off, what song have you chosen?
Well, recently, just by popping around on YouTube, I've got some Hollies stuff. I've always been a fan of the Hollies. But you know, when you, because they're so popular and something so familiar, you just don't always listen to it that often. And I've been listening to them again, and there's some great stuff. And it just reminded me of a track that I had on single in the 70s by the Hollies that just came into my mind that I haven't heard for years, but I always loved it, called The Air That I Breathe.
An absolutely beautiful track. So we're going to finish off. As I say, thank you very much. So looking forward to the album out tomorrow. And I will sign off with your choice, which is the Hollies and The Air That I Breathe.